Let us commence our meditation this evening by singing together hymn number 22. The tune is Hereford 871. When mourners stand and hear me tell what beauties in my Saviour dwell, where he is gone they fain would know, that they may seek and love him too. Hymn number 22, tune Hereford 871.
Mourners stand.
Let us read together from the Holy Word of God in the Song of Solomon. I commence reading in chapter 9, in chapter 5 and verse 9, and reading down to the third verse in chapter 6. The Song of Solomon, chapter 5, commence reading at verse 9. I'm reading down to the third verse in chapter 6. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? My beloved is gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens, and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. In this fifth chapter, we have given by the spouse a description of her beloved, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is probably one of the most intimate and beautiful descriptions of our Lord Jesus Christ in the whole of Scripture. It shows forth the wonderful glories of his name, of his natures. We closed last week in verse 8, and it says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. She so longed for her beloved. And we then have the response of the daughters of Jerusalem, that's her fellow believers. And they said, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? Well, we first want to look at the description given of the spouse here by her fellow believers. O thou fairest among women, the most beautiful and the most attractive among women. And this is how they speak of her. You see, they see her in Christ. They see her more in a different way that she saw herself. She said of herself, "I am black, but comely." She feels and knows her sinnership, her emptiness, her poverty, her lack of spiritual mindedness, her lack of prayer. And she feels and knows all those things. But her fellow believers, looking on at her, they see her in Christ. And so she's the fairest among women. I've often told you of my late pastor, when he was so exercised about joining the church. And it was at Lord's Supper, and he viewed the church all sitting around the table. And he said, "I had such a sacred view of them in Christ. They were all in Christ. They were all clothed in his righteousness. They were all washed in his precious blood. I felt such a love to them." And then my late grandfather, Mr. Jabez Field, the word for meditation on that Lord's Day in the ordinance table, "With desire, have I desired to eat this Passover with you." And he said that went right into his heart. And the following week, he went forward and gave his testimony, his humble testimony, and of the experience that he'd had of the love of God in his heart. "O thou fairest among women." Now, she begins then this description of Christ, "my beloved." How precious when we can really say that, "my beloved. My God, my Saviour, my friend, my Redeemer, the one in whom I hope in, the one in whom is all my desire, in that precious Redeemer." And, you know, we read of our Lord Jesus Christ when he ascended up into heaven, but before that, after his resurrection, he revealed himself unto Mary Magdalene by the sepulchre. And he said this unto her. This is John 20, verse 17. "Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." What a personal relationship there is between the church and Christ. She calls him my beloved. Now, she says here, "my beloved is white and ruddy." What has always been most sweet to me in looking at this, ruddy obviously means red. Now, white and ruddy. And I always feel that the most beautiful aspect of it is pure and holy, white, and his blood. So what this white and ruddy in her description of her beloved, the blood and righteousness of Christ. That is what is being spoken of here. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And that is the beauty and the loveliness that she saw in our Lord Jesus Christ. "My beloved is white, is pure, holy, and righteous, and ruddy," which is red. red. You know that glorious righteousness of Christ? It's spoken of in the prophecy of Isaiah. And we read in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10. And this is the spouse speaking of Christ. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. My beloved is white and ruddy, pure, holy, righteous. And then that precious, sacred, sin atoning blood of Jesus Christ of infinite worth and value. And that righteousness is of infinite worth and value. We read in Psalm 119 more than once, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. And that righteousness of Christ is the righteousness of his bride. The king's daughter is all glories within, her clothing as of wrought gold. That's the glorious righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. She's all glorious within, but because she's washed in the blood of Jesus that cleanses her from all her sin. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. You know, my beloved friends, here, the chiefest among 10,000. You put Christ upon in the midst of 10,000 of the pure, the holy angels of God, and he stands out as the chiefest among 10,000. You put Christ in the midst of 10,000 of the finest specimens of the sons of men, and Christ will stand out as the chiefest among 10,000. That is what he is to his spouse. She sees him as the very center, the very sum and the very substance of all her hopes and of all her desires. The chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. Gold in Holy Scripture represents divinity, especially in this metaphorical way here in the poetry of Solomon's song. His head is as the most fine gold. Gold represents divinity. He's not just a man. He's not just a good man. He's not just a perfect man. He's the holy God-man, the glorious, sacred, profound mystery of God manifest in the flesh. His head, it is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. Here we have Christ. We see him in the glory of his manhood, mature, black as a raven, the strength of his people, the wisdom of his people, everything that his people stand in need of. In him dwell all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and of understanding. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes, what we see in the eyes of a person, you can see whether a person's angry. You can see whether a person is kind and compassionate. You can tell an awful lot looking into the eyes, especially when it is between a husband and wife. You see a lot in the eyes. And so it is with the beloved and his spouse. His eyes are as the eyes of doves. by rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. These eyes, dove's eyes of peace, of reconciliation. I always think of the Lord's servant Peter when he denied his Lord and Master with oaths and curses. And we read that the Lord Jesus turned and looked upon Peter. Just one look. And he went out and wept bitterly. That look, my beloved friends, was a look of love, a look of divine compassion on his erring servant. It really was. And it absolutely broke his heart. And he went out and he wept bitterly. And he repented and regretted of denying his Lord and Master with oaths and with curses. You see, his eyes, the eyes of Jesus, the eyes as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters. You know, that speaks of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, as we've often pointed it out to you in Holy Scripture. And the Holy Ghost is likened unto these rivers of waters. There is a river that proceeds from beneath the throne of God and of the Lamb. And these eyes by the rivers of waters, this divine anointing of the Spirit, we read that Christ was anointed with the Spirit without measure. He had that full divine anointing of the Holy Ghost that was poured upon him. And we read in the 7th chapter of John and verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. See these living waters that flow into the soul of the true believer, and these wonderful eyes, they're washed with milk, they're pure, they're white, they're holy. Those loving eyes of our precious and wonderful Redeemer. You know, we read of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes to judgment. You see, to his spouse, his eyes are, they're pure, they're holy. And we have a description of Christ in Revelation chapter 1. And it says in verse 13, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. That's God manifest in the flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is in heaven, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. Why? He was coming to judgment. He was coming to judge the world in righteousness. But to his spouse, to the true believer, his eyes are as dove's eyes, full of love, full of kindness, full of compassion. Says here, his cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. The cheeks of my beloved. There's two cheeks, isn't there, on a person's face. There's two cheeks on the beloved's face. And of course, this is highly metaphorical language. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. All laid out, beautiful plants of odour and flowers, sweet flowers. You look in the face of Jesus Christ and the spouse, she sees everything that she stands in need of in her beloved. And those spices are the sweet graces of the Spirit that flow from Christ into the heart of the true believer. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. You could see these two cheeks as the Old and New Testament. They represent the Old and the New Testament. his cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. And when we search the holy scriptures of truth, what do we look to? What do we find? Search the scriptures, for these are they that testify of me. And when you see Christ in the holy scriptures, it's most sweet, most precious. Those beautiful spices, that precious aroma of the love and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you look, take for instance, if you go to Eastbourne, along the front, the seafront Eastbourne, there are beautiful gardens all laid out and manicured, and all the flowers are set in order. And you look at them, and you look at little groups of flowers. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that lovely? And so you look upon the whole, and you see such a loveliness in those flowers. Well, that's what the spouse sees when she looks into the face of Jesus Christ, God who commanded the light to shine after darkness, has shined into our hearts with the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips, oh, the lips of her beloved, his lips like lilies dropping sweet smelling myrrh. Myrrh, as we pointed out before, represents love. And that wonderful love of Christ, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Oh, that wonderful, infinite, eternal love of our Heavenly Father flowing through his Son, Jesus Christ, applied into the heart by the Holy Ghost. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips, how soft the words my Saviour speaks. How kind the promises he makes. And those promises are not only in the New Testament, they're in the Old. Fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. These wonderful promises of grace. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers, his lips. My sheep hear my voice. You see, they know the voice of the Good Shepherd. And not only that, they follow him. When Jesus speaks into your heart, your heart will be completely enraptured by him. His love will be shed abroad in your heart, and you'll feel such a desire and such a longing after him. You'll long to lay hold of him. You'll be like that dear woman, and she said, if I might but touch the hem of his garment, I should be made whole. Such a longing and yearning after Christ, especially when you hear the voice of your beloved, his lips, like lilies, dropping sweet smelling myrrh. We've looked already in this book at those wonderful words of Christ that she speaks to her, to the spouse. And it says in chapter 2, verse 10, and my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. His lips like lilies. He draws with eternal love, his children away to follow him. He speaks the sweet commandments of the gospel into their heart, that they might follow him in those sacred ordinances of the gospel. His lips, those wonderful lips of Christ, like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And whosoever will, let him come and take freely of the water of life. His lips, like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands, the hands of the beloved. Here we read of his hands in Psalm 95. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. But here the spouse, she says, his hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. You know, gold again represents divinity. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And that is what we see in these hands as gold rings. A ring has neither beginning nor end. It's continuous, and so is Christ. He has neither beginning nor end. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I am he which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. His hands are as gold rings, set with the beryl, his belly as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. You know, we read in the epistle to the Philippians about the bowels of mercies. The bowels of mercies that flow through the gospel unto poor believers. What we read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. It's wonderful, you know, flowing from the bowels of Christ, his infinite love, his eternal mercy, flowing into the heart of a poor lost sinner, raising them from spiritual death into spiritual life, giving them a more secure standing. He fixed my standing more secure. Christ did. All the security of the child of God is in Christ. Upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. His belly, it is a bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs as pillars of marble, stability and strength. This is the legs of Christ. Remember, this is a spiritual description. Set upon sockets of fine gold. Again, set upon sockets of fine gold, divinity. He is the eternal Son of the eternal Father. Upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance, this is the whole of his countenance, is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars, those mighty cedars of Lebanon. And that is what the spouse compares Christ unto, one of those mighty cedars of Lebanon. His mouth, the mouth of my beloved, is most sweet. When he breathes his word, the word of his grace, the apostle says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to grant you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. His mouth is most sweet. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. His mouth is most sweet. Yeah. Yes, he is altogether lovely. You know, it's as if the spouse, she's so enraptured with the beauty of her beloved, with the loveliness of her beloved. She embraces him and she's lost for words. It's almost beyond expression. She cannot speak anymore. She says, yay, he is altogether lovely one. Oh, my dear beloved friends, is Christ your altogether lovely one? Is he the sum and substance of all your hopes and all your desires? Is there that desire in your heart to know him and him alone? Is he so precious to you? You know, it's quite remarkable what we read of our Lord Jesus Christ in his teachings when he was here upon earth. He spoke to the people and he said, if any man will not leave father, mother, husband, wife, you see, for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 36, axe, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Christ becomes you altogether lovely one. I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. And then we have in the beginning of chapter 6, this again, it belongs to chapter 5. It's a continuation of the same word. And it says, this is the response of the daughters of Jerusalem, her fellow believers, when she gives this lovely, beautiful description of her beloved. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? They saw such a beauty in Christ, such a loveliness in Christ, when she described her love and her feelings and her desires for him. And she desired to be with him and to know him, that we may seek him with thee. Oh, what a great thing, my beloved friends, when by divine grace we are enabled to speak well of Christ and commend Christ unto others. My beloved is gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. This garden is the church, there's no doubt about that. And he comes down into the garden of the church, to the beds of spices, all the various believers in all the different churches. They're called beds of spices. And he feeds there. He feeds there. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, and where thou causest thy flock to rest at noon. My beloved is gone down. What a wonderful thing when the glorious person of Christ in spirit and in truth comes down into our assemblies. And when you have such a good hearing under the preaching of the word, and when you catch a little glimpse of yon lovely man and his love is shed abroad in your heart, and you begin to run to the house of God. You can't wait to be there. You long to hear his voice. You long to see his countenance. This is when he visits the church. My beloved is gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens, to gather lilies. It's often been likened when the Lord comes down into his garden, he plucks a lily. You know, when he comes down into the garden of the church and he takes one of those believers home to heaven and to gather lilies, he takes them to eternal glory, to be with Christ, which is far better. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. May the Lord grant us a sweet experience of these things. Let us pray. Almighty, most merciful and eternal God, the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, we bow as poor sinners at thy feet. We often say, feelingly, O wretched man that I am. We pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst wash us in that precious sin-atoning blood of Jesus Christ, and clothe us with that glorious everlasting robe of his righteousness, that we may see him as the altogether lovely one, the chiefest among 10,000, and all our stability and all our strength and all our wisdom and all our grace is found in him. Oh, most gracious Lord, we come to thee, poor and needy, wretched and undone. We pray that we may be given a view by faith of the wonderful glory of Christ, of the wonders of redeeming love, and that the love of Christ may be shed abroad in our hearts. Come and bless us as a church and as a congregation. Come and grant that we may see wondrous things in thy law. And come and grant that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit may rest and abide upon us. For Lord, we need thee at all times, especially, Lord, in these strange times in which we live, when unable to gather together around thy word. And yet, Lord, we would be very thankful for the technology that enables us to meet together in this way at the throne of grace, to meet together for divine worship. Oh, that our love may burn one toward another as we gather in this way, and that thou wouldst make one in our midst, even as we read in thy word, your hearts being knit together in love. Bless our beloved deacons, help undertake for them in all matters, O Lord, we pray thee. Bless each one of our brethren and sisters in Christ. Have mercy upon us each. Go before us each. And graciously grant that we may have fulfilled among us, by this shall they know that ye are my disciples, because ye have loved one to another. And may we manifest that love. And anything that causes a jarring note or causes a division, we pray to be delivered from it. For that, Lord, is the work of Satan. And we pray to be delivered from Satan's work and Satan's power. And that thou wouldst draw us together in that wonderful love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the whole of our congregation, from the youngest to the eldest. Work mightily in each heart. And remember the prodigals, O Lord, that have wandered from the sanctuary, and have mercy upon them, and cause them to in want, and cause them to return. O Lord, we do beseech them. And Lord, we pray that we may remember each other at the throne of grace, and that thou wouldst graciously grant thy blessing upon the ministry of the word in our midst, that it may be to the glory of thy great name, to the good of precious souls. We pray that thou wouldst bless the word of the Lord then in our midst, and bless the word of the Lord in the village in which we worship and the surrounding villages and hamlets. And as the word of the Lord goes out over the internet, oh, that the divine power of the Spirit may attend it, the strongholds of Satan may be pulled down, and the kingdom of our Lord Jesus set up in the hearts of sinners. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. O Lord, we do beseech thee, have mercy upon us for thy great name's sake. Lord, we do pray that thou in thy great mercy wouldst graciously grant a reviving, a renewing, a replenishing in thy Zion. Pour thy spirit upon thy servants, that we may see the fulfilling of that word. For I am returned unto Jerusalem with mercies, that mighty signs and wonders may follow the preaching of the word, and that thou wouldst bring our sons from far and our daughters from the ends of the earth. We do humbly pray thee, and grant that these things may be to the furtherance of the gospel. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be with all in any trouble or trial or perplexity or sorrow, in bereavement, support, sustain, strengthen and help for thy great name's sake. We do humbly beseech thee. O Lord, we do pray in this time of national emergency, many thousands taken from time into eternity, and this grievous virus, this plague, comes, O Lord, from thy hand. the solemn hand of judgment has been visited upon us as a nation and upon the nations of the earth. And all the wickedness and the evil that pervades the spirit of Antichrist is so prevalent, O Lord, in our society and in the societies of the earth. And thy word is trampled underfoot and counted as a thing of naught. O Lord, arise. Arise, arise, O God of grace. Hear the cries of thy little remnant. Thou didst hear the cries of the children of Israel in Egypt when thou didst visit them and say, I know thy sorrows. Oh, that thou wouldst come and visit with thy great salvation, Zion, in this dark day in which we live, and turn again our captivity as the streams in the south, and visit us with thy great salvation. O Lord, we do humbly beseech thee. Remember, O Lord, our nation, our leaders, give wisdom, guidance, and direction in all the matters concerning this virus, in all those that lead over us. Lord, grant them thy guidance and thy direction. We think of the doctors and the nurses as they battle with this virus. We pray that thou will strengthen them and help them in the stressful situation that they are found. And we pray, most gracious Lord, for our beloved Queen and consort and each member of the royal family, that thou wouldst touch them with thy rich grace that is in Christ Jesus, for thy great name's sake. We thank thee for every favour, for every blessing. We thank thee that thy mercies are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. Above all, we thank thee for the wonderful glory, grace and love and power of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that in him we know the love of our Heavenly Father, and through him we receive the wonderful gift of thy Spirit. Lord, hear us in heaven, thy holy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive, we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Let us now sing together hymn number 21. I'll read the first two verses and we will commence singing at the third verse. The tune is Abens 275. The wandering world inquires to know why I should love my Jesus so. What are his charms, say they above, the objects of a mortal love? Yes, my beloved to my sight shows a sweet mixture, red and white, all human beauties, all divine, in my beloved meet and shine. Hymn number 21, commencing in at verse 3, to the tune Abens 275.
Is this sound from the measure?
now. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.